Ever heard that story? You know, the one about a company losing like a hard drive, but it had millions of customer records on it.
Oh, yeah.
Or that time a hacker stole a celebrity's private photos, like right from their cloud.
Right.
And these aren't just like, you know, those things you see in movies, those tech thrillers.
Yeah.
These are real life examples of what can go wrong when we're talking data security.
It's true. It's true.
And honestly, most of us don't think about it like at all until it affects us directly.
Right, exactly.
That's exactly why we're doing this deep dive today. We're
Okay.
talking best practices for handling sensitive information.
All right.
So think all those digital blueprints, financial records, customer data, all that stuff that keeps, well,
Keeps the world turning.
yeah, that keeps our digital world running.
Yeah.
We found a fascinating document that we're going to unpack today
Okay.
that really it breaks all of this down.
And it's surprisingly relevant to everyone. I mean, it's not just for like, tech companies or like government agencies. This document, it highlights something called information classification. And believe me, it's a game changer.
Information classification. Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds a bit,
A little technical.
yeah, a little technical.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
Well, think of this way. You wouldn't protect your grandma's secret cookie recipe the same way you'd protect like a grocery list, right?
True, true.
Some information is just inherently more valuable, needs that extra layer of protection.
Right.
And that's what information classification is.
So companies are basically figuring out what data is their secret cookie recipe and
Yeah.
putting all the security around it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like deciding what goes in the safe
Okay.
and what can stay in the cookie jar.
Right. Yeah.
And the stakes are high.
Yeah.
I mean, did you know that companies with poor information classification practices can end up paying millions of dollars
Wow.
in fines and lost business if they have a data breach? It's a big deal.
It's a big, big deal.
It's huge.
Okay, so we've established that protecting sensitive information is, well, it's crucial.
Absolutely.
Now, this document dives into something called the information life cycle. What's that all about?
It's a way of looking at how information is handled, but at different stages. So like when it's stored, when it's being moved,
Oh,
and
yeah.
when it's being like transmitted or shared.
Right.
Each stage has its own like set of challenges and security considerations.
So it's kind of like a journey for data,
Right.
and each leg of the trip you're taking requires different safety measures.
Precisely.
Okay.
Let's start with the first stage, media storage.
Okay.
So basically any data at rest.
Gotcha.
Think of information stored on a laptop's hard drive, a company server, or even that massive cloud database everyone's talking about.
Okay, so anything that's not actively being used.
Right.
What are the big security concerns when it comes to storing data then?
Well, it's all about protecting that data from unauthorized access,
Right.
both physical and digital. That's where things like encryption come in.
All right, encryption, like that secret code that scrambles it up so no one can read it without the key.
Exactly. Think of it like sending a postcard
Okay.
versus a sealed letter.
Okay.
You wouldn't want your credit card number written out in plain sight on a postcard, would you?
Definitely not. I'd want that sealed up tight in an envelope, hopefully, with some extra security measures.
Precisely. And that's what encryption does for digital data. It adds that extra layer of protection.
So encryption is crucial. What else is important for protecting this data at rest?
Well, within data at rest, the document distinguishes between two types: archival data and backup data.
Okay, why is it important to make that distinction? They both seem kind of similar.
They serve different purposes,
Okay.
and that influences how you handle them.
Right.
Archival data is information an organization needs to keep for a certain period, often due to legal or regulatory requirements.
Okay.
Think medical records or like financial transactions.
Got.
Backup data, on the other hand, that's all about disaster recovery.
So archival data is like me keeping my tax returns for however many years I'm supposed to,
Yes.
and backup data is like me backing up my computer in case it crashes.
That's a great way to put it. But instead of losing, like, your family photos,
Right.
imagine losing all your customer data or financial records. Backup data is there to restore things if your primary data goes,
Goes kaput.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's like having two different levels of protection almost, like
Yeah.
based on how important it is and how likely you are to need it again.
And speaking of needing again, that brings up a fascinating point this document makes
Okay.
about the risks of keeping data for too long.
Really? Why is that a problem?
Yeah.
I thought more data was always better.
Not necessarily. Remember that whole secret cookie recipe analogy?
Yeah.
Imagine if you wrote that recipe down, like on a sticky note, and
Try.
just left it on your counter forever.
Yeah, someone's gonna find it eventually. Like,
Yeah.
even worse, it might be someone I don't want to share my cookies with, so.
Exactly. The longer you hold on to that sensitive data, the more vulnerable it becomes.
Okay.
Hackers, they get smarter. Systems get vulnerabilities. Accidents happen,
Right,
right?
right.
It's all about minimizing risk.
So what's the solution?
Yeah.
Are we just supposed to delete everything constantly?
Not quite. It's about finding a balance.
Okay.
This document really emphasizes data retention policies.
Yeah.
So organizations need to figure out what data they have, why they have it, how long they're legally required to keep it.
Right.
Then they can safely and securely dispose of anything they no longer need.
So it's like spring cleaning for your data. Get
Exactly.
rid of the clutter, reduce your risk.
Precisely. Okay, ready to move to the next stage of the information life cycle.
Hit me with it. What happens when that data has to move from point A to point B?
That's where things get really interesting.
Okay.
We're talking about data in transit.
Okay.
And there are actually two types to consider. First, you've got the physical transportation of data, which might sound a bit, I don't know, old school in our digital age.
You mean like actually putting a hard drive in a briefcase and handing it off?
You got it. Like, it might sound like something out of a spy movie, but it
Yeah.
happens more often than you might think.
Right.
And just like in those movies, security is, it's paramount.
Yeah.
The document really emphasizes the concept of chain of custody.
Chain of custody. Does that mean everyone involved has to like sign a giant ledger or something?
Think of it like tracking a package
Okay.
from the moment that data leaves its secure location to the
Okay.
moment it reaches its destination. You want to know exactly where it is, who has access to it.
Right.
We're talking tamper evident seals, secure vehicles, even background checks for the couriers.
Wow.
It's serious business.
I had no idea so much went into it. It
Yeah.
makes sense, though, especially when you're dealing with really sensitive information.
Absolutely. And then there's the other kind of data in transit,
Yeah.
digital transmission.
Right, because most data isn't physically mailed anymore. It's all happening online.
And because it's moving through a space as open and accessible as the internet,
Yeah.
digital transmission has its own unique set of risks.
So how do you even begin to protect data that's essentially flying through the air?
Right.
Yeah. It does feel kind of precarious when you put it like that.
Right.
How do you secure something that's like constantly in motion?
Well, thankfully, a lot of the same principles apply.
Okay.
Encryption is still key here.
Right.
Scrambling that data in transit, so even if someone intercepts it, it's gibberish without that decryption key.
It's like putting a message in a secret language that only the intended recipient can understand.
Exactly. And then there's authentication,
Right.
which is like the digital equivalent of showing your ID.
Okay.
It verifies that the person or system trying to access or receive the data is actually who they claim to be.
Ah, so it's like two-factor authentication for your data.
You got it, yeah. It adds another layer of security, making sure the data is going to the right place, not ending up in the wrong hands.
Right.
And this isn't just some like abstract tech concept, like this affects us every day.
Really? Give me an example.
Think about online banking.
Okay.
When you log in, you're using authentication to verify your identity, right?
Right.
And all those transactions you make, those are encrypted to protect your financial information.
Right.
Even something as simple as sending an email relies on these principles to keep your messages confidential.
Wow, I never really thought about it like that. But you're right, we rely on these security measures constantly, like without even realizing it.
Yeah.
Makes you really appreciate the work that goes on behind the scenes to keep our information safe.
Absolutely. And it highlights something really important this document emphasizes.
Okay.
At data security, it's not just the responsibility of like some tech department tucked away in a basement.
Right.
It's a shared responsibility.
So what you're saying is it's not enough to just assume our information is safe. Like, we have a role to play too.
Exactly. We all handle sensitive information every day, whether it's our own personal data or information related to our work.
So what can we do? I'm not exactly a cybersecurity
You
expert.
don't have to be. It starts with awareness.
Okay.
Pay attention to the websites you visit. Be cautious about those phishing emails.
Right.
And for goodness sake, create strong, unique passwords.
All good reminders. It's easy to get complacent, but yeah, every little bit helps.
It really does. And as we become even more reliant on digital information, this shared responsibility is only going to become more important.
Yeah, you know, diving into all of this with you makes you think, like, in this digital age, like, who really owns our information anyway?
It's a question, yeah, without easy answers, and one we all need to consider.
Well said. If you're interested in learning more about how to keep your own information safe, we've included some helpful resources in the show notes for this deep dive.
Check them out.
Until next time, stay curious.